wilderness from floor to ceiling. Gathered on my search for meaning in every closet filled with clutter. Messes yet to be discovered. I'm overwhelmed, like I understand. I can't make this place all that you can. Come inside this heart.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am definitely going to be letting you hear some more of that song. It is entitled Welcome Home. It is by Sean Groves, and I'm telling you what, he is singing a song that is so pertinent to the discussion that you're going to hear right now. Our guest, yours and mine, is a man of many talents. And when I say of many talents, ladies and gentlemen, I mean many talents. It's amazing. He writes, and when I say he writes, I mean he writes award-winning books. He is a motivational speaker. He's a successful entrepreneur and businessman. He is an accomplished musician. Yes, I am still describing the one same person. I'm not describing three people. I'm describing one person whose name is Mr. Gary W. Moore. Gary, how are you doing, sir?
Well, after that introduction, Carl, I'm doing fantastic.
I tell you what, you are truly, truly amazing. And it's refreshing in a way to meet someone who does so many things so well that other people highly acclaim that one person for all the things he does so well.
Well, thank you. I hope my wife's listening to this, so maybe she'll I won't have to take the garbage out when I get home.
There you go. Well, Gary, you got to tell us, how did life work for you, whether it was through people you watched and listened to and some kind of way you were inspired by what you're observing, whether there were just gifts and talents in you that you just began to discover through a process of trial and error? How did you get to be Gary W. Moore, multi-talented man?
Well, you know, first of all, I feel very blessed. I think that God has blessed me with a set of skills that I've been very fortunate to take advantage of. But I've always had kind of felt a need all of my life to be creative. My mother would tell you, if she's still alive, that she says that from my very early years, she said she'd always see either my friends gathered around me, I'd be telling them some kind of story. And at the supper table when I was young, she said that we were constantly amused, I always had a story. I always enjoyed writing. I love to write. And then the musician part of me, I think comes from kind of the same blessing, the same gene, it's that creativity gene. I've always loved all kinds of music. I'm primarily a percussionist. My degree is music education, but I also play trumpet. I play cello. I've just enjoyed playing and being around musicians. And I guess that's really why I also, my father owned a business, and when I graduated from college, I toured for a while. I played with Barbara Mandrell and played with Ray Price.
Wow!
For a short time, came back to help my father with the business. He died shortly afterwards, and all of a sudden, I was stuck with this business, and it was in debt, and I didn't know what to do. So I had to go to work and learn the skills to run a business. And so I ended up being president, the CEO of a public company. So I think that God has always kind of placed me at the right place at the right time with the right mentors, which is really important. I've been very fortunate and blessed that I've had people in my life that took an interest in me and wanted to help me. And that's the kind of thing that I think it's important that we pass down and pass along and do the same thing for others. My wife and I teach in inner city drum line, the percussion, some marching drum line and color guard. And, you know, it's just important to me that I was in a group like that when I was in my early teens and late teens. And it's important that we think that we pass that down and do the same thing for them. So, you know, I think when we're, I believe that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others.
Yes, sir. And I tell you what, I mean it when I say I truly appreciate you deeply that you want to give back and you're doing that. You're passing down, and particularly to people who otherwise might not have the opportunity to have so much wealth passed down to them.
Yeah. It's I do believe that, you know, people talk about to solve the poverty problem, you have to solve the education problem. And I believe that's true. But I think that more than that, you've got to solve the motivation problem. Because, you know, we truly have education in abundance in this country, but we don't have, I think we have done a terrible job as a society is motivating segments of our youth to realize the importance of education and getting ahead.
That's awesome. I agree with you so much. Because you're right. Even if the educational opportunities are there, if the motivation is not there to take advantage of those opportunities, it still won't help the people who are not motivated.
Exactly. And one of the things that I think the educational system has trouble understanding is that by forcing, threatening students with bad grades or failing tests or flunking out or whatever, that is never a solution to get marginal students to succeed. I mean, these kids need to be uplifted. They need to be encouraged. They need to be told that they matter. Mm. You know, I mean, we all know God doesn't make junk. And so these kids have value. These kids have worth. And the best thing we can do in educating those kids is helping them understand their value, their importance. And once they understand that, I think that they respond to education. But when somebody feels they have nothing, they are nothing, they're worth nothing, they respond accordingly. And they end up with the wrong people doing the wrong things at the wrong time. And we wonder why our prisons are full. We wonder why so many of our kids commit suicide. We wonder why there's you know, so many shootings. You know,
that's so awesome.
They feel they have no value.
Yeah. And so your primary mission then is not to motivate them to participate actively in the educational process. Your primary motive or mission is not so much to motivate them to look around them and see what else might be available and avail themselves of it. It sounds like your primary mission is to motivate them to value themselves. And once they start doing that, the other will flow.
Oh, absolutely, Carl. And I think that you hit it exactly on the head. A young person or an adult, I mean, it's the same thing with adults, but we focus primarily on young people. If they do not value themselves, they can't value anything around them. We're looking through our eyes, and if what our eyes see is other people not valuing us, we don't value other people or others. We don't value human life.
That is so thought-provoking. That is so insightful. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm going to ask you to stay with us. There's so much more that Gary Moore is going to be sharing with us as we go through this conversation. We're going to be speaking from his book, The Final Service. This is a real-world story that really helps us focus on family love, family disappointment, the need for family forgiveness, and then reconciliation. Stay with us. Gary Moore has much more for us right around the corner. We'll be right back.